Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalahakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtaham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadahantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavahamscha Shri Rupa Ham Sagrajata Ham Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadveta Ham Savaduta Ham Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Ham Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitahamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwarihi Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Shri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, contents of the Gita summarized, text number, was it 65 and 66? I will read text 65 myself and 66 we will chant together. Prasade sarva dukkha nam ha nir asyopa jayate prasana cheta soya ashu buddhi paryavatishtate. Krishna is saying, for one thus satisfied in Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer. In such satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. Text 66. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya, nacha yuktasya bhavana, nacha bhavayata shantir ashantasya kutasukam. Let's chant it together. I will read one line and you can follow. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya. Nacha yuktasya bhavana Nacha bhavayata shantir Ashantasya skuta sukam Nasti buddhira yuktasya Nacha yuktasya bhavana Nacha bhavayata shantir Ashantasya kuta sukam Nasti buddhira yuktasya Nacha yuktasya bhavana Nacha bhavayata shantir Ashantasya kutasukam. Nasti, there cannot be buddhi transcendental intelligence. Ayuktasya, of one who is not connected with Krishna consciousness. Na, not. Cha, and. Ayuktasya, of one devoid of Krishna consciousness. Bhavana, fixed mind in happiness. Na, not. Cha, and. Abhavayata, of one who is not fixed. Shanti, peace. Ashantasya, of the unpeaceful. Kuta, where is. Sukham, happiness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Purport. Unless one is in Krishna consciousness, there is no possibility of peace. So it is confirmed in the fifth chapter. 529, that when one understands that Krishna is the only enjoyer of all the good results of sacrifice and penance, that he is the proprietor of all universal manifestations, and that he is the real friend of all living entities, then only can one have real peace. Therefore, if one is not in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be a final goal for the mind. Disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal. One is certain that Krishna is the enjoyer, proprietor, and friend of everyone and everything, then one can, with a steady mind, bring about peace. Therefore, one who is engaged without a relationship with Krishna is certainly always in distress and is without peace. However much he may make a show of peace and spiritual advancement in life, Krishna consciousness is a self-manifested peaceful condition which can be achieved only in relationship with Krishna. Nasti buddhira yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha bhavayata shantir ashantasya kuta sukham. Tivananta swami iti namine namaste sarasati devi gauravani pacharine nirvishesha shunyavadi pasachadeshatarine. First, a little question. Are there any souls in this room here a little bit new to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness? Yes? All right. So we'll try to make it palatable for everyone. So the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad from Sanskrit means from God, Gita song, is... It's transcendental knowledge. Krishna, you know, who came 5,000 years ago on this planet to Arjuna. So it is still like kind of the manual of conditioned souls living on this earthly plane of how to live and ultimately how to be able to be removed from the shackles of this material world. So the second chapter is the contents of the Gita summarized. And, you know, as actually also is the 18th chapter, so this is like a prelude to the whole Bhagavad Gita. And there are many nice sequences of verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Now also, because like the last time we spoke on verse, I think, 58, and then very nice points were given about, you know, how to be fixed in consciousness. Yeah? And then Krishna was describing how the process of material attachment comes about, how the conditioned soul, the soul, then becomes attracted by material energy. So this is all very, very valuable information. So it is very difficult to discuss these verses on a standalone basis. You know, they're connected in a certain sequence. When we look at verse 65, It says, for one does satisfy, this already refers to the previous verse. So if we go to look at the previous verse, it says that a person, it also starts with the but. Because in the previous verses, Krishna was explaining the process of how the conditioned soul becomes entangled in the material energy. That is the basic point we have to understand. That the living principle we are is that we are spirit souls. You know, we are not like a bunch of material energy, as modern psychology is saying, that consciousness is simply a chemical connection in the brain. No, there is a living principle called the soul existing in the body, in the heart, separate from the body and the mind. The mind is a subtle body, which is also in principle dead material energy. So this living principle, the soul, which is part and parcel of Krishna, of God, God has the same qualities, becomes conditioned by material energy. And when we look at these verses, Krishna says, while contemplating the object of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment lust develops, and from lust anger arises. From anger complete delusion arises, and from delusion bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. Maya has two potencies, a potency which covers the intelligence, a potency which drags down the soul into material energy. So once we are conditioned, influenced, controlled by material energy, there is no escape possible. The jivatma is tatasta jiva shakti. As water is wet, as sugar is sweet, the constitutional position of the soul is that it is always dependent, either of the higher energy, the internal energy, which constitutes the spiritual world, the world where Krishna lives, where there is no separation with one's true identity, and the material energy. So once conditioned by this material energy, we are simply under the control of action and reaction. Material desires, they result in material thoughts, contemplations, thinking, feeling, willing, activities. These activities result in reactions that further enforces the material desires of the soul. And then it's just like a snowball, you know, rolling over a mountain, it gets bigger and bigger with more and more speed. Material energy covers one's real intelligence and drags us down. And this is a very pitiful, dangerous condition, because we never get an opportunity to come in contact with the person we actually really are. The fact that we are a spirit soul, and identity of the spirit soul, Nitya Krishna Das, is that it is a very, this soul has a very intimate relationship with Krishna as Krishna's servant. So then Krishna says, with this but a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. So then there is a process of how to again be reconnected with the actual nature of the soul by mercy. It's a process of mercy, you know, a process of mercy by which the actual higher energy, the energy which constitutes the spiritual world and all the relations there, comes down, you know, through a chain of the cyclic succession in our ear, in our heart, and which there starts to purify our heart. That's why we come to hear on books like Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. That is the only reason why so much emphasis is given. You know, first it is explained to us how pitiful our situation is. Then it is explained to us that with whatever efforts we may try to solve our situation here, it will go completely in vain. It's very clearly defined that processes of Ashtanga Yoga and Jnana Yoga, where one depends upon one's own strength and one's birth qualities and intelligence, that these processes are very, very difficult to gain success with, that it's very difficult to get complete liberation from this material energy. So our acharyas in Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, our disciplic succession, they've made it very clear that in this age, in this degraded age of Kali Yuga, there is no question of Nitya Siddha. I mean, Nitya Siddhas may be there, eternally perfected souls may come here to teach us, but there is no question of sadhana siddha, that by some sadhana, because we read the word regulative principles here, that by regulative principles we attain perfection. Okay, but then Prabhupada explained what these regulative principles are. These are regulative principles in devotional service. depending completely upon the mercy of Krishna, so that in this age there is only Kripa Siddha. Siddha means perfection, that we can attain perfection by mercy, simply by mercy, by acting in such a way that Sri Guru and Krishna may become pleased. Why the emphasis is given on Sri Guru, on the spiritual master? Because Krishna is living in Goloka Vrindavan, his eternal abode. He's nicely enjoying there, he has a very nice time there. And really, to be honest with you, he's not so conscious of us. You know, Krishna expands himself as Karnadakashaya Vishnu, then as Garbhadakashaya Vishnu, then as Kshiradakashaya Vishnu, and as the Paramatma, he is sitting in our heart, next to our soul, and he is conscious of us. But Krishna himself, personally, not so much. We will develop relationship with Krishna if we are, you know, initiated in, I'm talking about real initiation, are accepted at the lotus feet of a very intimate associate of Krishna, you know. But this really happens at higher stages of development in devotional service. So, Krishna is conscious of us in the form of his Paramatma. He's sitting there, understanding our situation, watching all our activities, sanctioning all our desires, and giving results to all these desires and activities we have. This verse is there in the Upanishads, that two birds are sitting in the same tree, and one bird is eating the fruits, that is us. And the other bird is simply watching and waiting until that other bird just turns his face to Krishna, you know. And that is really the start of devotional service. And in Shastra it is said that after millions of birds, if by mercy, by great fortune, one comes in contact, you know, with this process of devotional service, with a pure devotee, and one turns one face again to Krishna and tells Krishna, Krishna, look at my situation here. Look how I'm suffering here. I'm thrown in this body and this mind, constantly disturbed. No peace at all. It talks about the topic of the day. No peace at all. Mind is constantly disturbed here. It has to be like that. Why? Because we are spirit soul. That is who we are. And the only thing which can satisfy this spirit soul is pure loving relationship with God. Because this spirit soul is part and parcel of God. Is the only thing which will perfectly satisfy the soul. Nothing else will satisfy the soul. As soon as the experience of the soul is deflected through ahankar, through false ego is a very interesting principle. False ego is a very subtle material element. It's like a kind of a formula. You know, there is nothing substantial there. It's just an element which makes us identify with this material energy, basically with this mind and with this body. So when the original experience of the soul is deflected through false ego in this material energy in form of mind and body, then we become situated on the platform of unpeace, of unrest. Right? Because that soul has desire. That soul is Nitya Krishna Das, is eternally part and parcel of Krishna. That's the constitutional position of the soul. You know, people endeavoring for spiritual liberation, they want to kill their material identity, they want to be absorbed in the great emptiness, in the great voidness. But these are all artificial, unreal propositions. They don't really exist. The fact is that the soul is eternal servant of Krishna. The eternal desire of the soul is to be servant of Krishna, to please Krishna eternally. So, naturally, because this desire is eternally there, in contact with material energy, it manifests so many material desires. We have a body, I have a male body, so I want to enjoy a female body. You know, I need some nice clothes on this body, and I need a nice house to stay in, so I need a good job and some good money. So constantly, this soul is looking out in its environment and endeavoring for material improvement. Because we are stuck with these material desires, and that is because the soul is a living principle. We will never be peaceful. We try to be peaceful. And even if for some little moment, some moments, some weeks, some maybe some years, we are reasonably peaceful, it is never perfect. There are constantly disturbances. Disturbances given by our own body and mind, disturbances given through others, through natural circumstances. These disturbances are given in the Shastra. So we become satisfied with very little. And that's why this analogy is given, that when somebody is is suffering in his material world, it's like he's drowning. Somebody is putting him underwater, and in a moment, you know, he's being uplifted for a few moments, and he can catch a few breaths of air. Oh, I'm enjoying so much. And then again, he's being put underwater. So that is really the platform of enjoyment in this material world. Now, it's easy to say, you know, but we have become very accustomed to thinking like that. Said that, like, when there is stool and there is a worm in it, and you take out the stool, the worm out of the stool, the first thing he does, he's going to crawl back, because he thinks it's nice and cozy and warm, and the humidity rate is it's just perfect there. So that is, similarly, we are in the same way accustomed to living in this false ego, in this material world. It's a very unfortunate position, we're in Maya, we're in illusion. We are seriously conditioned by material energy on the level of our consciousness and intelligence. So all of this has to be exposed in a very practical way. You know, making mental adjustments won't work. We can try to make mental adjustments for a few days, a few weeks, a few years. But with some honesty, we will be constantly again be confronted with these material desires. You know, spiritual life has to be very practical. Spiritual life has to manifest in practical results. Means that from the beginning in our spiritual life, we have to again reconnect with the eternal existence of our soul, which will perfectly manifest and reveal to us and prove to us that this is a perfect, peaceful position. You know, spiritual life wholly and solely depends upon practical realization. And that is called Shraddha, that is called faith. Faith is not an artificial imposition on the intelligent or the mind, not some concept we accept. No, faith is a transcendental experience. So, a person freed from attachment and aversion and able to control the senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. And then Prabhupada very nicely explains that the regulative principles, Prabhupada makes it so clear, because it could be interpreted in a wrong way, and he also knows our weaknesses. He's saying that one may externally control the senses by some artificial process. Oh yes, I'm going to bring my mind and body into this process. Now I'm a vegetarian. Now I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Now I'm doing deity worship. Now I'm doing this. Now I'm doing that. Okay, we have to do these things. But not by some artificial process. Our consciousness has to be there in place. But unless the senses are engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord, there is every chance of a fail. Our senses have to be actually engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. Our senses, our mind, our senses, our intelligence, our consciousness has to experience the transcendental service of the Lord. We cannot be messed up. We cannot be disturbed by material desires. We cannot be disturbed by philosophical misconceptions. We cannot be disturbed by any form of anartha, lust, anger, greed, envy, and claim to be engaged in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord. The moment we are engaged a little bit in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord, this experience is so perfect, so powerful, so purifying, that all of these things are completely absent. So this is like a check and balance system. You know, am I in liberated consciousness, yes or no? And if one doubts whether I am in liberated consciousness, yes or no, it means that it's a no. Because the experience in itself is so revealing, so clear, that it is said that if I slap him in the face, he doesn't have to go and ask him, did he just slap me in the face? You know? Or he doesn't just have to make some mental adjustment. Was it so that he just slapped me in the face? No, it's very clear. So when Krishna, you know, puts us on a transcendental platform, then that experience is very clear. So this verse, for when one thus satisfied in Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer. In such satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. So this is like a requirement for one's intelligence soon well to be established. So definitely, Prabhupada is not speaking in terms of an ending process here. He's not saying that this is the result of your practice. We think if we're in purified consciousness, wow, I'm there, I made it. No, this is the beginning of our spiritual life. You see? If we can understand the process of devotional service by taking shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee, we need that pure devotee's mercy, we need his instructions, we need their words to enter our ears, in our heart. Why? Because these words will purify one's heart. It will make a hole through the thick layers of material energy conditioning our soul. The Harikatha impregnated with this Svarup Shakti, the internal energy, will penetrate our mind and it will, for the first time, you know, give some real food to the soul. And that happening, that scientific thing happening to us, that is the development of Adau Shraddha, of beginning faith in the process of devotional service. That is where devotional service starts. Adau. Adau means in the beginning. Adau Shraddha. So, if we can, like a garland, you know, now we have a light, a rope, and there is now one flower on that garland. You know, we got a breakthrough. We got a transcendental experience. In that experience, everything is revealed. It is revealed how Krishna is staying in the heart as Paramatma. It is revealed how to surrender to Him, how to truly depend upon Him, how not to depend upon our own mind and intelligence, not depend upon the own strength of our senses. To realize that all these instruments, mind and senses, are Krishna's Mama Maya. It's His energy. You know, and just by an act of surrender, desiring based upon on the principle just to please and serve Him, allowing Krishna to be Rishikesh, allowing Krishna to control our mind and our senses. And then, just by His mercy, living in that state of consciousness. You know, so that is like one flower on that garland. What happens? We lose that consciousness. Why? Because we have so many anarthas in the heart, so many unwanted things in the heart. Little deviation, you know, little speculation, little interpretation from how it should be, little proud. And again, we go to our previous experience. And then that difference becomes very, very big. Because you were in liberated consciousness, you become conditioned again, it is intolerable. It said like a tiger who tasted human blood will never kill another animal again. He will only go after humans. If we become serious in devotional service, get some serious breakthroughs, then going back to material consciousness is unacceptable. You will go mad, you know, because then you realize how uncomfortable it is to be influenced by this ego, to think I am separate from Krishna. You know, to be influenced by pride and by all these other things. So what before became you could not overcome these things, after getting Krishna's mercy, it is not even an option to consider these things anymore. So clear is it. Such a big revolution in consciousness it is. So then, if we just put more and more flowers on this rope and learn how to be as many moments as possible in this consciousness, in the beginning, of course, we cannot depend upon our own. We need devotees to, you know, to make it clear to us that now you're deviating. You know, we had this experience that, you know, you cry so much, you're being punished so much by Guru and Krishna, to just gain a little state of purified consciousness, then it becomes so nice, you know, because you're so enlightened, so empowered, and the mind and senses are so strong, and because of influence of these anarthas, now very subtly, you know, you have so much more empowerment to exploit other people, you know, very good, and never. Previously, I never had access to all these, you know, ammunition. Let's say like that. And then they're pointing out already you're being deviated. You're still feeling good, you know. No, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm in good consciousness, but already we're influenced by pride and so many other unwanted things. As the hours go by, maybe a few days, again we're in the same old situation. Mind and senses completely disturbed, influenced by lust, anger, greed, and then it's clear to us. Then he's saying, you see, you're so thick, you're like a pig, an ass, you know. Only when you get heavy beatings, then you can understand that that you're deviating. Already 2 days ago I told you you're deviating. You know, something was wrong in your mood, in your mentality, in your surrender. All right, okay, next time I will put faith in your words. So in the beginning we need guidance, you know, to maintain that platform, to be pointed out where we go wrong, which anarthas cause us to lose the consciousness. Then we need help again, lots of harikata, continuous hearing and chanting Nityam Bhagavata Sevya to be again placed on that platform. So then, you know, we try to accumulate as many moments as possible in our life. And this is the platform what Krishna is speaking about. One's intelligence is soon well established. So this verse is somewhere from Adau Shraddha up to Bhajana Kriya in Anartha Nivritti. Because when one's intelligence is soon well established, that is Nishta. In Nishta, we are fixed in transcendental intelligence. Then we have purified all our anarthas. We have gone through all the different tests, all different possible tests, you know, which Krishna can place before us. We have understood those things. We have understood that we don't want to enjoy in these particular ways. We have also understood the remedy, how to purify them. In Nishta, we're all set, you know. We don't become influenced by material energy anymore. It is very clear to us who we are. It is very clear to us that Krishna is God, but already in stages of Adau Shraddha, that is clear. Basically, Adau Shraddha and Nishta, there is no difference. It is both a transcendental experience, only the quantity is a difference. In Nishta, it's always like that. And in Adau Shraddha, you're just trying to accumulate as many moments as possible in that consciousness. Then the next verse. Then the threefold miseries of material existence, they exist no longer. You know, you actually become relieved from all the miseries in material life. And the problem is that a conditioned soul is not conscious of the miseries placed upon him. That's the great tragedy in this material world. You know, we are in illusion. And that is part of the illusion, that we are being punished constantly. You know, problems of the body, problems of the mind. But we're not conscious of that. We are of so low consciousness that we cannot actually perceive that we are being punished, that we are being disturbed. It's a serious problem. You know, we have accepted these things as normal. We've accepted these things as, you know, it's part of life. You know, that's just how it is. But these things have to be exposed, and they become exposed by association with devotees. Pure devotees who are constantly in a state of purified consciousness. For them it is a shock to see us. They will see that, my God, you know, these people are living like animals of so low consciousness and they're just suffering and struggling in this material energy. They don't know it even. So then with their great merciful attitude, they give us an opportunity to hear from them. Because their words, they contain the consciousness they have. And once, you know, we seriously are introduced to this process of hearing, then we become purified. Then slowly, slowly, we become purified, and they will guide us very personally, very expertly. I'm going to stop. So one who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? You see? Accepting this transcendental knowledge that Krishna is there, that the soul can only be peaceful at his lotus feet, and having been practically introduced to that state of consciousness, then there is no other option anymore. So then you become sold out, you know? By associating with personalities like Srila Prabhupada, pure devotees, then they convince us. So I will stop here. Devotees are eager to do bhajan. Any questions or comments? All right. Kantarachi, yes. Well, forget about, I mean, this is like the first illusion you should give up, that the devotees living in the temple are devotees and the ones that are staying outside are not devotees. So, I mean, the problem remains the same. It's not that you, when you live in the temple, that all your problems are solved, that you're fixed in transcendental consciousness. It's a little bit easier, but sometimes you're not as much disturbed and punished, you know, by the circumstances of your life. More influence of sattva-gun, and then I will think, okay, I'm a very nice and pure devotee. But, you know, the platform of devotional service is still much higher. In essence, if you can find devotees really living on a transcendental platform and hear from them, associate with them, then that will be the best remedy to your problems, you know. So pray for these devotees. Krishna knows who are his own men. Huh? He knows it. He's the only one who knows it. Go to him. Cry to him for that association. But we're not pointed like that. We're splayed out. We have so many focuses in devotional service. Because we think there are other solutions. We think we can depend upon our own bhajan, upon our own sadhana, upon our own tapasya. But for most of us, it may take many years to be really frustrated in all these attempts. But if you can hear it in the beginning of your spiritual life, you should immediately take to the best possible thing. Prabhupada says the best instruction Krishna gave in the Bhagavad Gita is to take shelter of Krishna who is living in the heart and surrender there. Go there and ask him where he is manifesting on this planet, where he is speaking transcendental Harikatha. Because that is the only way, that is the gateway to liberation. When that Swarup Shakti through the ears enter the mind and the heart, and there you get purified. Okay. So just pray for that, be focused upon that. Hare Krishna Gantra Chimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki. Jai Gaur Premi.